This is a stop-in-your-track story that shows how the accident of mistaken identity taught two women how long-standing racial divides in America can also vanish in an instant.
Okay. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
You're now going to meet Lisa S. Davis from Park Slope, Brooklyn, and Lisa S. Davis from the very different neighborhood of Brownsville in Brooklyn. They also have the same birth date. But these two would probably never have met except for the discovery of a mysterious mix-up regarding traffic tickets and driver's licenses.
My license was mysteriously suspended, and when I went to the DMV, they told me that I'd gotten this ticket for driving down 138th Street in the Bronx, and I said, that isn't a street that I've gone down as far as I know, and they gave me a copy of the ticket, and it was made out to me with my very specific middle name, right? Okay. The Lisa and Davis are not particularly uncommon, but my middle name was specific. And that began this journey to figure out what happened.
For me, it happened with the first ticket that I got with the light out. And when I went to go pay it, it wasn't there. So I was just thinking like, okay, well, cool. I was young. They didn't really ask the question. It just wasn't there when I went to pay it. And I thought it was a cool thing. I mean, I'm in my 20s, and I'm not thinking that, you know, someone else has my identity. Years later, I got another ticket, went to pay it, and that wasn't there. I was like, this is, like, awesome. I'm living, like, the best life ever.
Special card that says...
It's just this amazing.
Yeah. It didn't stop the problem even though we both have our middle names on our licenses.
Right. Who made the decision to find this other Lisa?
Oh, me. Because, you know, you don't need to find the other person if I'm not being...
Right. So I wasn't really... It was just like, okay.
And she didn't know that that the tickets were coming to me.
Right. So how did you solve this mystery?
The last ticket that Lisa got...
I was in the park. It was late night, walking in the park from work. And I just came from North Carolina, so I didn't know there was no... Just, you can't walk in the park at night. And the officer came up behind me. He said, let me see your ID. I showed him my ID. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm okay, I'll just leave. He said, no, you're getting a citation. And then that's when she started, I guess a citation went to you and things started to unravel more.
Right, and then I had a background check for a job and they said I had a misdemeanor, that there was a warrant because of this unpaid ticket. And that's when I had to go to criminal court. But I thought, great, I'm going to finally clear this up.
So you set out for where?
I was going to go try to find all the Lisa Davises. So I made a map for myself, and the closest one was Brownsville. So I went that first day, and...
Very different neighborhood in Brooklyn.
Very different neighborhood. Like, you know, mm-hmm. It's 1% white, and it's a lot of projects, mm-hmm. and a lot of single-family homes, too. Yeah. And I didn't know I was going to say or exactly what I was doing there.
And I heard the commotion. I heard a little bit in the hallways, but you just don't tend to. You mind your business in the projects. And then this first tap, I was like, shh, it's Jehovah Witnesses. So then she came and knocked with a little force, like boom, boom, boom. And I'm looking at my best friend. I'm like, probably got the wrong apartment. Let me just see what's going on. So I'm like, hello. And she was just starting to tell a story like, this may sound funny or awkward, but I'm Lisa and I'm searching for Lisa. And I opened it, and it just started from there. She was like, you know, I've been searching for a Lisa Savoy Davis, and, you know, have you had any issues? Or, you know, your name Lisa Davis? And I was like, yes, I know a Lisa Celine. And she was like, that's me. And we just started hugging, and I just hugged her. I was like, oh, my God.
Which is, you know, not, I wasn't sure what was going to happen, but definitely that was not my first thought about, I'm going to go knock on this lady's door and say, I want to talk to you about being Lisa Davis and get hugged. So that was awesome.
They each have the same name and the exact same birth date. But when enterprising and somewhat neurotic Lisa the writer tracked down her double through tracing a ticket for walking in a park after dark, she found Lisa the joy-filled personal trainer. And right off the bat, they discovered how race had tagged them.
The ticket that she got that led to the warrant, the ticket for walking in that park at 10 p.m., I wouldn't have gotten that ticket if I went into Prospect Park. I don't think, as a white person in a neighborhood, a low-crime neighborhood. Right. And so what the story is about is that there was this mix-up and this inconvenience for me, but it was really the result of racial profiling. That's ultimately what happens.
Right. You know... This story is all about kind of what constitutes our identity and what isn't our identity. It's also about just how you can connect with someone so intensely,
right?
You know, for reasons that you'd never think of. You know, we're constantly talking in America about how to cross these lines, how to get out of these bubbles, you know.
Well, I think I was telling her that it is a big difference in the city for me, being from the South and New York City. I had a little more Caucasian friends, mixed friends in the South. But when I got to New York City, I noticed a distance from us. The connection, they wouldn't allow us in. I don't want to speak for everyone, but I know in my community it was hard to meet someone of another race, of Caucasian race, and be able to say we're friends. You have to definitely step out of Brownsville. So it was different, and it was exciting to finally say, okay, so this is a New Yorker who's a Caucasian that I can actually see what's the difference and how her experience is from my experience.
So what kinds of things like that did you learn?
Well, I think both of us very much lament the lack of diversity in our neighborhoods and lives. And I remember that being a thing that Lisa said early on of like, I'm so excited to have a white friend in New York because she had lots of white friends in North Carolina.
Like, where are the white people? I was like,
and we're over in Park Slope being like, where are all the African-American people?
Yeah.
To me, this is an issue of affordable housing. Now, I live in my neighborhood because it was super cheap when I moved there. And as it's gotten more expensive, you know, everything, it's the story of gentrification, but really we're grouped the way we are because of the price of housing.
One of the things that's wrong in America is that, you know, whites don't see racism.
Right.
And they also don't see privilege.
Right.
Can you see the extent to which racism has held you back? And can you see the extent to which privilege has given you a real boost, that it's determined certain aspects of your lives?
I do feel very aware of my privilege, and I feel it just when I go into my favorite store in Park Slope. When I walk out, you know, they have to check your bag and your receipt, and they hardly ever do. And I often think, like, I am above suspicion just because of the color of my skin. But I think what we know about empathy is that it's really all about exposure. So the white people who don't understand their privilege or don't want to admit it just might not be having enough contact with people from other walks of life to show them just how lucky they are.
There's times when I'm with Lisa, when we talk about it, I can see we're totally different people. Our attitudes, our belief systems, and it's like, I'm in awe with this. But then I see that we all have that side where we certain things we don't like about ourselves. And I see that from her. But she shows that side a lot, like, oh, I don't like this, and I don't like that. And she has this viewpoint constantly. But then me, I'm always like, you know, what are you talking about? Like, how could you not like this side? How dare you? How do you not?
One of us has a much higher self-esteem than the other.
But here it is. And I do have a high self-esteem, but it's not because I would say that the life that I came from, we've had so much of these struggles that if I had to look at then and look at now, I love where I'm at. I've been through so much in life that to get to where I'm at, it's awesome for me. I will not allow anything to tear that down. And because it was a hard struggle to get here. And then when I see you and I'm like, was your struggle like mine? How could things be so just as simple as I don't like or I hate? She has this privilege. And in my head, I'm thinking, she doesn't have a right to feel like nothing is going her way because things happen your way so easily for you. You know,
I believe I'm being accused of being a whiner right now. But
it's not.
Totally amazing.
It's not to take, you know, but it. Yeah. This is where I'm taken away from it. And this is my brutally honesty from what I've been learning from you. And it's an awareness. And I realize, like, you're human too. So just because you have this privilege doesn't mean, you know, maybe you are aware but don't know how to go through life with it. And for us, not having this privilege, we have to struggle and fight for this stuff. We have to dig deep to create this resilience. So when things happen to us on the negative side, it's like nothing off. It's like, okay, we just got to knock this down and keep moving.
Yeah.
And with you, it's like, the world is over. And I'm looking at her like, no, the world is not over.
I did come with built-in advantages. And it is true that she is 1,000 times more positive and resilient than I am. And that is okay because I can learn from her to be more like that.
This was the best accident that happened.
Yes.
I mean, this is one of the best accidents I've ever heard about.
It is.
Yeah?
Definitely.
So what's the lesson from the two leases?
It was an eye-opener for me to not even to assume that because you're privileged, that life is not a struggle for you. You still are human, and you have your flaws and your doubts in life.
I mean, one takeaway is how rewarding it is to be friends with someone from a different walk of life, and especially someone from, who's just like a couple neighborhoods away, right. And that connection is powerful and meaningful, and there should be more opportunities to have these connections without, you know, 18 years of legal troubles.
Yeah, so sorry.
Two Huggers from Brooklyn. That's the title of the book. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Lisa Savoy Davis is an African-American personal trainer in Brooklyn, and Lisa Sellen Davis is a white writer in Brooklyn. They're both 45. Have you ever had an encounter with someone who shared your name? What happened? Anything surprising?
This is Barry Wynn calling from Brighton, Michigan. Barry D. Wynn is white and a very conservative GOP operative from South Carolina. I'm black and live in Michigan. We've never connected, though someone trolled me after he appeared on TV on one of the pundit shows. The whole thing made me laugh.
Has your life been affected because of someone else who just happened to share your name? Tell us your story. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or tweet us at The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.